Tara and Harlan, welcome to the world of superintendency.
Thank you.
You both come from local church settings. What will it feel like to move into the role that you've had a little taste of in a couple of cabinet meetings?
It's felt exhilarating, exciting, scary, weird.
How so?
Oh, that's a good question. How so? Well, you know, for 30 years or so, I have only had really, in some regards, just kind of a wondering about what happens with the appointed cabinet. What I'm finding out is reassuring, it's genuine, it's prayerful, it's all the things that I'd hoped it was going on before. That's been very reassuring, but it's kind of overwhelming at the same time to be thinking about what those responsibilities are. And how many people are affected by those responsibilities. I mean, a lot of people are affected in local churches by what local pastors do. But this is a different scale. And that's what's overwhelming and kind of weird about it, I think.
I would echo the feelings. I keep telling people it's equal parts joy and terror. And I think that's healthy. As I'm looking at this, I too have been reassured by the way the cabinet has functioned. That has given me great comfort. I am awed and humbled by the responsibility that we are being asked to be a part of now. And I don't take that lightly at all. And I also understand the learning curve is going to be huge. And I am one who likes order, and I like to know what's going on. So I just really have to take a deep breath and say, Tara, you're a baby here. Breathe, listen, learn, ask. And so I'm trying to go into it being very open, very humble.
What did it feel like when the bishop contacted you and said, let's have a conversation?
Okay. I wonder what this is going to be about. He was gracious and invited my wife to come along, as did with Tara and her husband as well. And so the conversation wasn't just with me alone. I'm not sure I knew what to expect in the conversation. But when he did, when he made the invitation, and he made it really clear it was an invitation. That's the way this bishop works, and I appreciate that. And I had the opportunity to say yes or no about it. I've always grieved the loss of close friendships and working with churches every time we've moved. And that's a hard part for both of us, and my wife and I. We're also excited about meeting new people. So we had those feelings, I think. But unlike going from one local church to the next, while there's an element for me of, okay, now what is this really getting into? There was even more of that at this point. Because it seemingly seems to be so different. I've always thought of ministry and what's happened in my life from being a teacher to becoming a pastor, now to doing this as a pastor. I've always kind of thought of those as seasons. And there's a call upon my life by God for certain seasons of life. It doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to be doing the same thing season after season after season. As a matter of fact, I'd probably go nuts if that was the case. You know, I discovered that about teaching. 1 year after the next, teaching vocal music, there was so much similarity. It was like doing the same year, you know, over and over again. It wasn't, I mean, it really wasn't that, but a teacher, a friend of mine, gave me really good advice once. He said, Harlan, he says, you can have a great 1 year career and try to repeat it for 40 years in teaching. Or you can have a great career and over 40 years and every year is new and different. And I think there's a lot of wisdom about that too for ministry. Because I can get so wrapped up in routines, week after week after week, hospital visits, meetings, program development, all that sort of thing, I need the challenge of something new coming down the road. So there was some of that. We're moving further away from our grandkids. Not that far, this could be a problem. But, you know, not having them that close, it's going to be different. But then again, we're moving closer to the grandchild we're going to have in June because she'll be born in Colorado.
A little closer.
Yeah, a little closer.
When the bishop invited Jay and I to come down, I really had no idea. But being asked to be a district superintendent was not even on the radar. So we were visiting about our different ministry contexts and where we are now. And then just out of the blue, the bishop said, Tara, I would like to invite you to become the district superintendent of the Southwest District. And I'm sure I had the deer in the headlights look, which I think probably people need to get used to in these coming days. But he too was very gracious in saying, this is an invitation. And he offered someone for me to talk to, who I'm very close to anyway, to process before I said yes. He says, I want you to talk to her. And so I did that, but I knew I was going to say yes. You talk about seasons. My life is so, I think more of as a journey. And each thing builds upon the next, both the exhilarating, wonderful things that have happened in my life and the very difficult things. And as I look back, I can see that's preparation for the future. So I trust that I will continue to be prepared for the places I am being sent in the Southwest District and in the conference and beyond. So in that, I find comfort.
You've both alluded to the fact that you're just beginning to get some glimpses, though appreciative glimpses, of the way the appointive cabinet works. What is it of you that you bring into this that you hope will make a difference?
Do you want to go first this time?
Sure. I am a person that, by my very personality, I think before I speak. I process. I try to be prepared. But I like to listen. I like to see the interactions. I like to hear the thoughts. And then share what wisdom I might have. I hope that thoughtfulness will be good for the gathered body that are making these decisions.
I've served, when I think about that for a while, I've lived in very small communities and large communities, teaching and also now as a pastor. The smallest church I worked with as a pastor, I think, had 60 members in it. And the largest, and everything else in between, the largest of over a couple of thousand. You know, so, and churches that were on the rise, on the decline, in the middle, trying to figure out what their direction was. And I hope I was some help to all of those situations. But, you know, I think that experience, I think will be helpful, and I hope it helps me to listen, because there's a wide variety of churches out there, size and context-wise, even though we're Iowa and people think it's all the same. It's a lot of different context, you know. I hope, though, that what I bring to more of that is the listening presence and a prayerful presence. One that hopefully will be supportive of the churches, but also supportive of the cabinet. And I really do like the movement that we're doing as a church in terms of missional focus, in terms of thinking of us being appointed to communities. In this case, we're kind of like a district is like a region, and local church pastors appointed to the community. So that it's not just simply focusing on an organization and organizational structures of a church, but focusing on what it really means to live and breathe and be the church in the world. And I hope I can bring some of that experience that I've had with and also learn a great deal from other people who are trying to live into that too.
I have one last question, but I'm I'm having a hard time refraining from asking the small question of, is there anything to the fact that you're both musically inclined?
The bishop commented that the musical expertise in the room rose just a little bit when we arrived. Yeah. We could have fun.
Yeah. Won't have to cast about a lot for how do we start the next hymn.
No. Not really. So,
all right. Well, the last question I have for the two of you is, as you move into this new chapter, season, part of the journey in your ministries, what is it that people in the North Central District or Southwest District, or even beyond those two regions, can do for you?
I can tell you what some have already done. Some of this I learned at my father-in-law's funeral, because both my wife and I grew up in the North Central, or the old Mason City District. And so there were a number of folks that came to his funeral that what they did was they welcomed me and us. They expressed some excitement about that. They said they're praying for us. Some of them said they're not holding my childhood past against me. Those types of things. So I think that's the main thing. For me, that's what's most important. And that's what they've sincerely offered. So I think that's, you know. And along with the fact that I want to listen to all the church's stories, because it's been a long time since I've been in that district. And what I knew of many of those churches when I was growing up, a lot of those things have changed. A lot of those things have changed.
I'm going to a district that I've never served in that area. So what I'm excited about is to hearing their stories. They will teach me. They will help to shape me to be the superintendent I need to be for them. And hopefully I can help shape them, bringing wisdom, bringing clarity, a listening ear. And so what they can do for me is to tell me their stories, to not be afraid. I'm a person who journeys with. I think that's what I can tell them. And I want them to covenant to journey with me. And together we'll make it. Together, I think God has great things in store for our conference. Is already moving, and exciting things are springing forth. And I want all the places where we're striving to serve Christ to be places where new things are springing forth and where the Spirit of God is evident.
Yeah. Well, I thank you both for your time. Please know that you're in our thoughts and our prayers, and look forward to being a part of a larger ministry team with the two of you.
Thank you for having us visit with you about this.
Yeah. Good.
Thank you.
Thanks.